In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin the little sermonette today, please keep in your prayers one of the priests whom we work with, Father Carlos Ercole. Today is the anniversary of his ordination, and this year makes 19 years. He was ordained by Bishop Dolan on October 11th of 1998. So that's 19 years now. And so just say a prayer for him today at Mass. Well, children, many centuries ago, it was during, I believe, the Protestant revolt with Martin Luther and then all the men that came after him who revolted against the Catholic Church. Some of them began to say that Mary was not the mother of God, and that because she was not the mother of God, we were not to pay her so much honor, because all of that honor that we show to her is then taken away from the honor that we should show to Jesus. But we know as Catholics that that is entirely false, that Mary is truly the mother of God, and that any honor we pay to her is paid to her son as well. Of Mary, there is never enough, children, in your devotions, in your readings, in your prayer life, in the sermons that we give. We can never speak of Mary too much, and we can never love Mary enough. There is that one beautiful quote, I don't remember who said it, some saint, but he said that we should never worry about loving Mary too much, because we will never love her as much as Jesus loved her. And that's a beautiful thought to keep hold of. We'll never love her like our Lord did. And so we should every day try to love her more and more. But many people, though, many centuries ago, tried to say that she was not the mother of God. And so that's why this feast, today's feast, the maternity or the motherhood of Mary, was instituted by Pope Pius XI, and I think the 1930s, if I'm not mistaken. He wanted to make it clear that Mary was God's mother, and also that because she was God's mother and Jesus became our brother, that makes her our mother in a very special way. And I came across a story from the Old Testament that shows how Mary takes care of all of her children and loves them very much, even when they go astray and when they commit sin. Well, the Old Testament, it concerns a story with King David. And there was this woman who came to King David, and she told the king, "Well, my two sons got into a fight. The one murdered the other one. And now, of course, they're going to come to you in court, and you're going to condemn the only son that I have left." And she said, "This will make me very sad. This is hard for a mother to deal with, to lose both sons at one time." And so King David looked at her and said, this will not be done. I will not condemn the one son." Well, then the explanation of this is just this. That's how it is with Jesus and Mary. You see, when we commit sin, we murder, we crucify her son Jesus. And now we're the living son, and we're brought before our Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, and our Lord is ready to condemn us, but as King David was ready to condemn the one criminal son. But then Mary steps in and she says, "Well, it's sad enough that they had to kill you, Jesus, but do you have to then take away my other son, the criminal son too?" And then she prays for us, and our Lord always hears her prayers. And that is how so many souls have been saved, by that one prayer of Our Lady. And I have one more story that tells how Mary does indeed take care of her children. And it also tells us how we should never neglect Mary. We have to always pray to her and never neglect it. The story is this, that there was a big plague going around, I think it was somewhere in Europe, and many people were coming down with this great sickness, and perhaps even dying. Well, a certain monk, I don't remember his name, but a certain monk was told, because he had a strong devotion to Our Lady, go and pray to Our Lady and do not leave your knees until you've gotten an answer from Our Lady. Well, he stayed there for 3 whole days praying for relief from this plague. And at the end of the 3rd day, he got his answer. And so he was allowed to return back to his monastery and live as he had always lived. Well, for some reason or another, his devotion to Mary slacked off, and he wasn't doing it as much. Well, do you know what happened? Temptations started to come, and he slowly, bit by bit, began to give in to the temptations. And then he was so discouraged with himself that when the temptation came to leave the monastery, he gave in to it. He climbed the wall and left his monastery. But just as soon as he made it over the wall, there was an image of Our Lady there. And it spoke to him miraculously and said, My son, why are you leaving me? And she says, well, and the monk answered, well, why didn't you help me in all of these temptations? And Our Lady's only answer was, well, why didn't you simply ask me? If only you had asked me, I would have helped. So I promise you my help now, and return to the monastery. He did so, and he went back, and the temptations continued. And for a while, I think he kept his prayers to Our Lady going. But then after a while again, he slacked, and he stopped his devotion. And this time, he became worse a sinner. And he left the monastery, and he became so bad that he became an assassin, became a murderer. And so he would murder people at this particular hotel. And he murdered a few people, actually. And one day he was going to follow a man in there and kill him. Well, just as soon as he pulled back the sheets of the bed where the man was sleeping that he was going to kill, the man wasn't there. It was a crucifix. And from that crucifix, Our Lord spoke very kindly. He said, go on and kill me. I was already crucified once, but you continue to crucify me by your mortal sins. But go ahead and kill me. And he couldn't do it. And after that, he repented. He went back to the monastery. But along the way, he got caught by the jury. The jury found him, and they put him in handcuffs and everything else, and they took him right away to be hanged without any chance for confession or anything. And when he was there, they put the rope around his neck and let him go. But at the last moment, it says that Mary showed up on the scene and loosened the rope from around his neck, and he escaped, and he ran right back to the monastery and entered again, where he did penance the rest of his life. And Our Lady said, the next time you see me with a white paper in my hand, it will be telling you that your death is close. You should begin praying and preparing yourself. And so for many years he lived and was devout to Our Lady. And all of a sudden one day he woke up and he saw a white paper in Our Lady's hand. And he knew what that meant, that he was soon to die. And so he prepared for his death and died a very holy death. So you see, children, Mary always protects her sons and her daughters. As long as we remember to go to her, whether it be by just calling on her name or saying her rosary or just speaking to her from your heart and asking for help, but never neglect Mary. Always pray to her, always love her, and always love her more each day, because she'll be a mother and she'll get you to heaven, where you will see her divine Son forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.